Today we're going to start a new series called Find My Friends. Find My Friends. Before we get into that today, let me ask you a question. How many remember playing hide and seek when you was a kid? Anybody remember that game, hide and seek? How many was good at hide and seek? How many were you were the brother or the sister who could hide and nobody would ever find? Is that you here? Yeah, okay. I loved that game growing up. We play it. It was really fun to play at night. And then we got to where we would play it when our parents would leave. We would have all the kids in the neighborhood come over and we'd turn the lights out in the house. And we'd play hide and go seek in a total pitch black house, you know. How many know that was really safe? And that was, nothing ever got broken playing that. But anyway, we played this game and we loved playing it. I got really good at it, you know, as a kid. I could hide in places that no one would find me. I was really good at hiding in the car, you know, or the trunk of a car or something like that, you know. The rule was you just couldn't leave the house. So no one said you couldn't hide the trunk in the garage of the car, you know. So you could do things like that. And I was really good that when I went to stores with my mom, that I liked to play hide and go seek there. And she would turn her back for a split second. All of a sudden, I'm weaving my way through the aisles of the clothing aisle or wherever we're at, the store we're at. And I would find a hiding place. And I would hide there. You know, and I would crawl under cabinets. I would get in the middle of the clothes racks that were full of clothes. And I'd just sit there, Jay, grinning from ear to ear. And I could hear her with panic walking up and down the aisles, shout my name. Jay! And I'm like, I'm good at this game. You know, I thought I was being really good at this game. And then a time would go by, and then I would hear over the loudspeaker of the phone,
Gene Beebe, your mother cannot find you. You got 10 seconds to get up here. Or boy, you're going to be in trouble.
You know, I better get up there, you know. And sometimes, you know, it would send my mom into a panic. My kids were pretty good at playing this game, hide and go seek. I know when they're younger, they would hide. And they would hide in very obvious spots. You're like, you got this all wrong. Because the thing was, if I was hiding, as long as my eyes are closed, he can't see me, right? You remember those days? As long as my eyes are closed, that person can't see me. It doesn't make a difference. I can see you, whether your eyes are closed or not. You got to find a good spot to hide. And today, for some of us here, you know, let's be honest. For a parent, there is nothing that will bring panic into your life then you feel like you've can't find your kids, right? Man, you're at a place, a public place, and all of a sudden you turn around and your kid's missing. And man, panic strickens your heart, right? Fear takes over. And all of a sudden you're screaming, you're hollering, everybody's helping you look, and everybody's looking at the manager involved, you got security involved. I mean, nothing will really bring out a community like if a kid's lost, maybe in the woods somewhere, and the whole community shows up to go through and look for that kid. I mean, because as parents, we can really relate to that, right? We can relate to the panic and fear that must set in. So we really want to be a part of that. Let me say this to you today. I believe that there's nothing that grieves the heart of God more than for one of his children to be lost. I really believe this totally with my whole heart that God, yeah, you say, Willie, yeah, I believe God really is grieved by it. You know, we have apps now, right, that tell us where we're at. We have apps that can, you know, Find My Friends app, or the Find My Friends app, where you can kind of get on there, and everybody who's on that app, if they're your friends and in your network, man, you can tell who's having coffee over here at Starbucks. Hey, so-and-so's there. I can stop in there and join them for coffee or go dinner or who's at the house. How many are glad you can track your kids now through these phones, right? This is a great thing now, because now you can see where your teenagers are at all time. I can look right here and see, all right, I got a bunch of them, 1, 2, 3, 4 of them here, 0 miles away. They're right here at Destiny Church. I have one that's 66 miles away on the campus of Missouri State this morning, and his phone tells me he's in the locker room. They're having spring practice this morning. He had to be there, so he's having to be there, and I can tell he's in the locker room there on Missouri Southern. Missouri State. You can see right where he's at. It's pretty cool. How many are thankful they didn't have these apps when you was a kid, right? You know, Donnie, you've been in trouble right there. You guys didn't have these apps when I was a teenager, just saying. But it's a great tool. I can see where my kids are at all the time. See, God can see where his children are at all the time. And I'm not talking about a physical location today. I'm talking about a spiritual location. That when one of his children are not in a spiritual relationship with him, it grieves the heart of God. It really is something that's very dear and near to God. When one of his kids are lost, as adults, we play hide and go seek, don't we? We think we can hide from God. We think that, you know what? This is what happened in the garden, Adam and Eve, man. They made the first sin, and they went and hid in the garden thinking they could hide from God. Of course, they couldn't hide from God. And we can't hide from God. God knows where we're at. I remember a time in my life when I was trying to hide from God. I was trying to run from God. I was a young teenager, and man, I had people coming up to me, and they were like, man, you know, God's got more for your life, and you know, you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and I was like, you know what, I want nothing to do with any of that. And so I was running as far as I could from that thing. I was like, because you know what, all the pastors I know, all the evangelists I know, all the ministers I know, they're weird. So I can't be like that. A panic was all over me, man. I was like, I don't want to be like that. And so I was just like, you know, I ran from that as far as I could. And then I remember there was a young man about 5 years older than me. His name was David. And David began to show an interest and began to spend some time with me. He said, hey, let's go grab some lunch today. What are you doing? Hey, let's go out and golf. Well, hey, let's go out and go fishing. And he'd bring his rowboat, Tom, and I'd end up rowing the boat, and he did most of the fishing. But anyway, we did a lot of talking out there. And he'd tell me things, and he had a cool car. Man, we had a custom stereo in there, man. We were rocking that thing. That Monte Carlo was tricked out. It was great, man. And what's really cool was he spent time with me, and over the conversations, it was never preachy, but he'd always say things to me like, you know what, man? God really has a plan for your life, and I can really see God using you in a unique way, in a different way than what you think. And his interest in me, his showing me attention, his spending time with me and seeing me through my doubt, seeing me as I was running from God, and yet spend time with me and speaking to my life. Today, if you've been impacted in any way by the ministry that I've been able to share with you, today, you have partially to give credit to David, because without David spending that time with me, I wouldn't be here today where I am now. I wouldn't have started myself on that journey. But David took time to invest in me, and today he didn't know that time investing in me could reach the point where I was able to travel to different nations, and I've been able to minister to hundreds and even thousands of people over my life, being able to speak. And I've had so many people give their heart to Jesus. We have people who've gone out and been pastors and leaders and worship leaders and taking the gospel themselves and starting ministries. It's been a really cool process. And none of that maybe would have happened if David hadn't taken time to see me, open up his life to me, and to invest in me. Who was it that spoke to you? Who was it that showed you attention? Who was it that invited you to church? Who was it who took time to see you beyond the mess you were and say, man, it doesn't make a difference. Come on. Come, join me. Join me, and was willing to see you past your faults and mistakes and say, man, God's got something bigger for your life. Who was it that spoke to your life? Who was it that had that impact in your life? God wants to use you to bring others to him. Look at this verse in 2 Peter 3:9. God's desire is this. He's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient. How many are thankful God is patient? Yes, God is patient with us. Not wanting anyone, this is his heart, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This is the heart of God. He doesn't want any of us to perish. He wants all of us to come to repentance, because why? If we come to repentance, then we enter into a personal relationship with the Father that not only lasts here on earth, but will last throughout eternity. It's an eternal mindset. It's not because he's lonely. It's because he wants you to spend eternity with him. He doesn't want you to perish. And so this becomes the heart of God. He finds me. He's looking for me. He wants to spend this time with me. In case today you don't know this, no matter what we do for a career, my first call is simply this, found in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Look at the way the message says. I love the way the message puts this. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. This is our responsibility. We are We're Christ, what? Let's say it together. We are Christ's representatives. One more time. We are Christ's representatives. We represent Christ. This is what we're called to do. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. This is my job, to speak for Christ. What? What am I speaking? Speak this message that you become friends with God because he's already a friend with you. He wants you to share that message. Hey, God, you don't realize it, but God is already calling you friend. God has already given his life for you. God is waiting to have a relationship with you. He wants you to come and be his friend. He's already friends with you. He's just waiting for you to enter that door. Come across that path. And it's my job. It's your job. Like I told you last week, that it's about the who, right? I don't minister because I'm a pastor. I minister because of who I am. I am who? I am a child of God, which makes me a representative of God. And my what becomes now, I'm to show his love. I'm to declare his goodness. I'm to tell people, hey, let me tell you what God has done in my life. So my career may be teaching school as a school teacher, but my job is to be Christ's representative on my workplace. Listen, if we're all pastors, then who's going to reach the teachers? If we're all pastors, who's going to reach the police force? If we're all pastors, who's going to reach people at your factory? If we're all pastors, who's going to reach people at your hospital? Listen, God has called every one of us to be his representatives. He's given us all different giftings that will allow us to specialize in different areas. And in those areas, I use those giftings to provide for my family, but also I'm there to penetrate. I'm there to bring the light of God to the darkness around me. And I'm to do it how? Through God's love. I'm his representative. So today we got to realize this is what we are called to do. This is who we are. If you don't know this, God wants to use you to reach the lost. Listen, every one of us have this calling on our life. If you are a Christian today, our calling is simple. We're called to reach people who do not know Jesus. But how many are thankful that I was lost, but now I'm found? I was blind, but now I can see. And who shared that with you? Who helped you along the way? And now my job is God wants me to be his representative and do the same for others. Today, we got to understand this. I love this story. So we're going to jump right into this Friends app today. Let's see, how did Jesus do this? I mean, Jesus was so good at turning the everyday events into life-changing encounters. Let's look at one of these encounters today, and I want to give you a simple message that's going to allow, you're going to stick in your brain, I believe it, and it's going to change the way you live your life. John 4:7, we see the story where Jesus, now, we set it up here, Jesus had been with his disciples, had been teaching on the hillsides and the multitudes, and the crowds were there, and we see all this happening, and they're going back, they're south, now they're going back north to go back home. They kind of invert out of their way and go to Samaria to stop in to get some lunch and to get something to eat, to refuel. And Jesus sends the guys, his disciples, hey, go into town, get something to eat. I'm just going to hang out here by the well and get something to drink. So let's pick up this encounter. So Jesus, soon as a Samaritan woman came to draw, everybody say Samaritan. I want you to remember that word. We'll come back to it in a few minutes. It's important that the Bible states she's a Samaritan woman. She came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please, hey, can you just give me a drink? He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, to say the least. She was surprised. I want you to see this word, surprised. Why was she surprised? Because he shouldn't have been talking to her. She was a Samaritan. We'll get back to it in a minute. And she was also there at a time of the day, at the noon hour, when nobody else is there, and she's trying to be by herself. All of a sudden, Jesus speaks to her. So she's surprised. For Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you talking to me?" She's like, "Why are you talking to me?" She's like, "What are you talking about, Willis? Why are you asking me for a drink? What's going on here? Why are you asking me for a drink?" See, Jesus had a way of turning everyday encounters, surprising people's lives with world-changing, life-changing encounters. And I wonder how many of us every day. So I want you to write these three things down. Number one, you got to learn to open your focus. Open your focus. I want to show you a video here. It was a popular video about 5 years ago. It's two teams of one's got the white shirts on, another's got black shirts on, and they're both passing the ball. And you got to see, can you focus in enough to count how many times the team wearing white shirts passed the ball back and forth, okay? It's going to take tremendous focus, but focus in and see if you can count how many times the white team passes the ball.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13.
How many got it right? Raise your hand. You got 13? You guys are
smart. Did you see the moonwalking bear?
How many saw the bear? Go back and watch it again.
Go!
It's easy to miss something you're not looking for, right? Not focused in on. They talk about this as a word they use. Intentional blindness, meaning simply this, that because we're intentional in our focus, we don't see other things around us. So for instance, we're intentional, we're focused in on the task at hand. I got to get in the store, I got 5 things to buy, I got to get home, got to fix dinner, got to get the kids picked up from school, I got to go by the bank. And so my mind's already checking things off. I'm in and out, doing these errands, running here and going here. And I don't see people around me because I'm a mean person or a selfish person. I don't see people around because I'm not focused in on who they are. I'm not focused in on them. I'm focused in on getting in and getting out, getting my things bought. Guys are really good at this, right? I want to get in, get out, get the list done, and get out of there. And so it's called, we're not blind, but it's called intentional focus. We focus on something else, causing us to be blind to things around us, unaware of things, other things going on. We do this every day. We're so focused on our task or our to-do list, we miss out on people who are hurting every day. We're missing out on people who are lost every day. We become blind to the hurting. We become blind to the lost. We become blind to those who are in need. And we only do this because we're not focused in. See, Jesus didn't miss it. Jesus was able to focus in, but he's also able to see people around him. And he had these encounters every day. He had a way. Man, think about it. He was exhausted. He had to be exhausted. His physical man had to be exhausted. He had just finished up a time of teaching and ministry. The Bible says the crowds were so big that when Jesus taught, that many times we can go back and say, it says he fed 5,000 people. But that was just the men. That didn't include the women and the children. They say there could have been 20, 30,000 people right there on the hillside listening to him talk. One time it talks about a lady who was trying to get to Jesus, and she couldn't. The crowds were so big she couldn't get to him. The only way she could get to him is she had to get on her hands and knees and crawl under people, and she could only just barely reach out and touch the hem of his garment, and she was healed. Why? Because people everywhere, "Jesus, heal my baby. Jesus, bless my kid. Jesus, can you do this? Jesus, 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 Jesus." I mean, everywhere he went, people, the word's out. And so people are pressing him. So can you imagine or blame Jesus for saying, "All right, guys, listen, I don't have the ability to go in and mess with the crowd today. You guys go into town. You get the lunch. I'm going to just hang out here and get me something to drink and just kind of have a few minutes alone. And as he goes to the well, there's a woman there. And he could have said, you know what? Not today. You should have went to the crusade. You should have been out there with the rest of them. This is my day off. I don't have time to talk to you, woman. He didn't do that, did he? It says he walked up to that woman and began to speak to her in that everyday encounter. She was there at the noon hour. Why would she be there at the noon hour? The Bible says, and we know this to be fact, that when people, the women would go to draw the water, they would go early in the morning or very late in the evening. They never chose the heat of the day to go out and to get their water. It actually became a place of, like, you know, all the women gathered around, you know, it's like going to the coffee shop where they would gather around, they would go, and this is their place to talk, drop the water. It was like a very much community thing. And so I can imagine that this woman had so many mistakes in her life that she really wanted to avoid the crowd. She didn't want to be the topic of everybody else's gossip. The Bible says that this woman had been married 5 times. And Jesus said, and the guy you're living with now is not even your husband. So I imagine people, when she walked up, said, there comes, better hide your husbands. Hide your husbands. Here she comes. It's that woman. Oh, yeah, it's her again. And she was tired of hearing the whispers. She was tired of hearing the criticism. She was tired of being pointed at and talked about. And she was like, you know what? I'll just go out here in the middle of the day when nobody's here, get my water. I don't have to talk to nobody. I don't have to see nobody. But that day was different. That day there was a man who saw her. And so for him to even acknowledge her, she was like, what are you doing? What are you doing talking to me? See, we got to make it a constant prayer in my daily life. God, open my focus. We need to be praying this every day. God, open my eyes to those who need you. And open the doors for me to share your love and your story. Matter of fact, let's put our hands over our heart right now. Let's pray that prayer. God, open our focus. Come on, let's say, God, open my focus. Let me have the ability to see beyond my task at hand and see the person who's hurting. See the person who's been rejected. Let me see the person who's going through a tough season in their life. God, let me see the person that nobody else is giving attention to. God, open our focus up this morning. The second thing I want you to write down is you got to learn to open your heart. Open your heart. I read the story of these two separate grandmas who were trying to do a group text. Now, how many know that grandparents are great at group texting, right? And you grandparents great at group texting? That's not an easy thing for anybody, but more or less the grandparents. You just learned how to text. I mean, my mom sends me a text once in a while. I'm like, God, you did it, Mom. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm not about to ask her to do any kind of group text, okay? And if you don't know what group texting is, that means it's a whole group of people you're texting at one time. So you can text one message that goes out to 7 or 8 people at the same time. So the story goes, this grandmother, she wasn't a grandmother, she was getting ready to have her first grandbaby, and her daughter had went into the hospital. So she sends out this group text to her family. Hey, she's going into the hospital. This is the hospital. She's dilated to a 7. We're going to have a baby here in a matter of a few hours. This is the room we're in. Everybody get here. And she sends out this group text, and this guy gets this group text, and he's like, who is this? So he asks her, who are you? She's like, I'm your grandmother. This is who this is. I'm not going to be the grandma. He's like, no, you're not. She's like, at the talking, and realized she just had added the wrong number. She had mistakenly put in the wrong number, so she's texting this random person. She's texting this random guy all this personal information about her grandbaby being born that day. And this guy, and he started sharing it with his brother, and the two of them went out, bought this baby a gift, drove 45 miles to the hospital, and gave it to the grandmother, took a picture with the family, and they all laughed, and they said, we just want to come and just congratulate you. You seem really, really happy. And so they went 45 miles out of the way and brought a gift, and it made a great bond and just an impact. I read another story about the same thing happening where this grandmother was putting out texts to her grandkids, invited all of her grandkids to come for Thanksgiving dinner in 2017. She's like, hey, man, you gotta come. We're having Thanksgiving in my house. Let me know if you're going to be here. And she sent the group text out. This guy says, who are you? She says, I'm your grandmother. He goes, I don't know who my grandmother is. And so she sends a picture. And here this white grandmother sends a picture. And he sends a picture back. And this is an African-American young man. He's like, you ain't my grandma, you know. And they start laughing and chuckling. He goes, but thanks for the invitation. And he starts talking about what they're going to have. And she goes, well, do you have anywhere to go for Thanksgiving? And he's like, no, I really don't. And so she invited him. And he ended up coming to Thanksgiving dinner and having dinner with all of her grandkids at her house. And they hit it off so well that they invited him back, and he came back for 2018 to have Thanksgiving dinner with a family, and this guy had no family at all. I mean, he took something really funny and crazy because somebody opened up their heart. It was made national news. I think Jimmy Kimmel even did a big special about it and talked about it in one of his monologues. You know, it was a really cool thing. But how many people did we come across every day if we would just open up our heart and say, God, if I could just open my heart, I bet there's somebody I could show your kindness to. God, there's somebody I could impact their life. When we open up our heart to others, God can use it in a powerful way. Jesus should have never talked to this Samaritan woman. Why was Samaritan a bad thing? Because back in this day, Samaritans were half-breeds. They were half Jew and they were half Gentiles. And both the Jews and the Gentiles hated them because they were sellouts. They went outside the family to marry. And so it was frowned upon. And so they were looked at. And so if you can think of the most nastiest, worst name you could call anybody, this would have been the name they would have called somebody back in that day. So to say she was a Samaritan woman, it was very much a degrading thing. And Jesus took time to speak to this woman. He didn't worry about his religious reputation. He was seen talking to the woman who had been married 5 times previously. And he said, even now, you're just living with the guy you're with now. So he wasn't worried about people talking. Look at Jesus. Who's he talking to? Oh, he's talking to that girl. That person. And Jesus wasn't about that. Jesus had an open heart. He had an open focus. And he's seen that this was an opportunity to come in and to speak something powerful that could change this woman's life. He risked his reputation with a simple question. Do you mind giving me something to drink? Can you give me something to drink? I mean, think about this. Why would he do that? First of all, he didn't travel with something to drink. So it was nice that he could say, as you're drawing that water, can I drink from your cup as well? I mean, talk about what was he doing. Number one, when he made that statement, number one, he looked beyond. Everybody else had talked about her. Nobody else was willing to acknowledge her. And he looks her in the eye and says, hey, do you mind getting me something to drink? You want to drink from my cup? First of all, I'm the Samaritan. And now you want to share my germs? You're asking me a real question? You're not just talking about me, but now you're talking to me. You're not afraid to be seen talking to me. I mean, in that one simple question, he broke down so many barriers in this girl's life by simply asking that one question. I wonder how many of us could break down barriers in people's lives just by one simple question. How's your day going? How are you doing? Hey, do you mind giving me a hand with this? I wonder if one simple question could turn around somebody's life. That could open up an opportunity for you to become in a relationship with them that would speak to their life and have an opportunity to speak God's kindness to their life. Jesus did this with one question. Let's pick it back up in John 4 now, verses 9 and 10. The woman was surprised, right? Jews don't have anything to do with Samaritans, she said to Jesus. You are a Jew, I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift. This is cool. Jesus said, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to. You would ask me and I would give you living water. The gift. God was like, listen, I asked you that one question. Now I'm going to tell you that God has got a gift for you. I wonder how many people would love to hear about a gift. I wonder how many people would love to hear about the gift of God's grace, the gift of God's love, the gift that comes through the cross, the gift that comes through the resurrection relationship with Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people would love to receive a gift. We got the gift to give away. If you only knew, you got to know there's a gift for you. See, Jesus has a normal conversation and it leads to this. Number three, write this down. You got to open your story. So I open my focus, I open my heart, and then I got to open my story. Your story. You got a story to tell. You got a story that will change people's lives. Let's pick it up now in verses 13 through 15. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring. Where? Within. Let's say that word. Within. Within them. You see, Jesus takes this one question. Now he says there's a gift you got to have. You can have this gift and it will change something within your life. Listen, when Jesus' love comes to your life, it changes something within you. When God's mercy floods your life, it changes something within you. You've got this gift. You've received this gift. Now you've got to give it away. Listen, let me tell you about how good God is. It will change you. My story is that. God, when I allowed you to come into my life, it changed something within me. It took me from a mad, bitter person, always angry, always wanting to fight, and God began to change my heart. God allowed me to forgive people in my life. God allowed me to walk with a kind spirit. God allowed me to change my attitude from being self-centered to being God-centered. God changed my life. He gave me a purpose in my life. He gave me something to live my life for. I got to share that with you. It will change something. Listen, you get this gift, it will change something from within you. It's our job. It's our responsibility. It's our pleasure. It's our privilege to give the gifts away and to let people know. He said, listen, it'll bring eternal life. Please, sir, this woman said, give me this gift. Give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again. And I won't have to come here to get water. And of course, Jesus goes on to tell her what he's really talking about is the water that comes from his life. See, Jesus uses everyday conversation to open up conversation about who God is. God wants to use your story. We've all got a different story. And you're going to reach people I can't reach. And you're going to reach people that the person sitting next to you can't reach. Why? Because everybody's got a different story. But all of our stories are the same. That the gift that comes from the Father changed me from within. And now I've got an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. And my life will never, ever be the same. It's a story we have to share. And I got to be willing to share my story with others. I got to be willing to say I've made mistakes and I've blown it and I've been empty and I didn't have my purpose in life. And I can share about chasing after other dreams in my life. But the only thing that will bring satisfaction is when you give your life to Jesus. Wow, that's my story. It's your story that we have today. It's our job to share it. It's amazing what happens when we begin to do this. See, when you share your story, you plant seed. You know what you also do? You may be watering seed for somebody else. Somebody else planted a seed in somebody's life about who Jesus is. A few weeks later, boom, you step up. You start talking about who Jesus is in your life. You're like, you know what? I heard this, something similar to this from a person just a few weeks ago. And now you're telling me the same thing happened to you? Your life was changed? Something happened from within you as well? What happens? I'm watering the seed that's already been planted. And somebody else comes along the next day and says, hey, won't you join me for services? Won't you come to my church with me? You know what? You're like the third person that asked me this. Yeah, man, let's go. And they come and they give their heart to Jesus during that service. What happens? Did that pastor lead that person to the Lord? No, it was a team effort. It was a team effort. People who served throughout the week, getting the church ready, those who greeted, those who worked the kids' classrooms, those who cleaned, those who prepared for worship, those who helped in the meal. I mean, all these things come together and help present the gospel in a way that people can hear and understand. But there's also the people who are on their job who were sharing their story. People who were talking about the goodness of God and people who were inviting people. And eventually they watered and they said, you know what? I think there's something to this message. I want to come in and hear more. And so you may share it and maybe you bring that person to church with you. Maybe they go somewhere down the line. They go to the church with somebody else. It doesn't make a difference. The important part is I'm planting the seed in people's lives. Planting the seed. I'm watering seed. I'm watering seed by opening up my life, my focus, my heart, my story. I want you to begin to pray this prayer every day. God, open the door for me to share what you have done in my life. God, open the door for me to share what you have done in my life. As the musicians are coming this morning, I want to remind you, a simple invite can change someone's life forever. A simple invite. Can you remember the person who invited you to church? Can you remember the person who maybe shared with you? A simple invite can change somebody. You never know. The person you invite to church comes to church. And maybe they have a history of addiction in their family and a history of destroyed lives and marriages and abuse. It has gone on from generation to generation. I've seen this happen time and time again. And then someone comes, they give their heart to Jesus. Jesus heals their heart, begins to break the chains of addiction in their life. And they become a first generation Christian. And they start telling people, and they reach maybe a few people and a few friends. But what you don't realize is they have kids. And those kids are raised in church and they get involved in the youth ministry and they grow up, and all of a sudden that person who was struggling with addiction and that person who was struggling with their life being destroyed is raising their family, and they're fighting to do it, but they're doing it. They got their family in church the majority of the time, and that kid raises up and they say, you know what, I'm called to be a missionary, and they take the gospel and they take it around the world. Or they're called to be a pastor. And in one generation they went from a generation of family trials and addiction to destroy, that their children were spreading the gospel around the globe. I've seen it happen. You don't know who the person you're sharing your story with, how they can make an impact on eternity. And one day when you get to heaven, you're going to be given a crown with jewels all in it, and you're going to be given crowns based off of people you've helped bring to Jesus. And maybe you're going to receive this whole truckload of crowns given to you. Where did this come from? Remember that one guy, that co-worker that you led to Jesus? That you brought to church and they gave their heart on Easter Sunday? Their kid went on to reach many, many people for Jesus. We don't know. It's our responsibility. I want you to bow your heads. I want to ask you the question today. You see, Pastor, you're talking about this responsibility. How do I do this? Well, it starts right here. You know that you are lost, and I am lost, and I was lost, but now I'm found. And you have a chance this morning to answer that question for you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? If so, the Bible says you believe that with your heart, and then you confess it with your mouth that God is Lord of your life, that Jesus is Lord of your life. If you do that, man, you walk into a new thing called the grace of God, the love of God, the relationship of God. It will change your life forever. It starts right there. So without anybody looking around but me, if your head's bowed, We won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you. I want to give you a chance to respond. If you say, Pastor, that's me. Today where I'm sitting at, I want to surrender my life fully to Jesus Christ and accept him as my Lord and Savior. Can you raise your hand where I can see it right now? Thank you. Anybody else want to join them? Thank you. Anybody else want to thank you guys and see those, man? Anybody else say, today's my day. I'm ready. Thank you, guys. If you haven't raised it right now, where I can see. If you didn't raise it yet, raise it right now. Today's my day. Thank you. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to say this prayer out loud. I want you to repeat it after me if you raise your hands. As Christians sitting around you, we'll help you along as well. We'll say it with you. Say, dear Jesus, I surrender all of my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah. This is exciting today. This is why we're here today. So that you make that decision, you have a chance to make that decision. We're thrilled for you today. We're excited to have you a part of the family of God. If you prayed that prayer today, before you leave, we'll have the hub open up in the back. We're going to have a free Bible. We would love more than anything to give you that free gift today. God's Word, alive right there in your hands today, is our free gift for you. I'm going to invite you to stand across the auditorium. How many today said, Pastor, I want God to begin to open up my focus. I want God to begin to open up my heart. I want God to begin to open up my story. I want to learn to find people. I want to be intentional about God using me. Come on, raise your hand if that's me. I want God to use me. Come on now, this is what God is asking of us. And we are going to say yes, Destiny. We're going to say yes. We're going to say yes. Come on. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Let's make this the song of our heart. I'm going to invite you now. Can we put our hand over our heart this morning? As we close out, I want to pray for you. Let's practice our prayer. God, open our focus. Help us to see people around us every day who maybe simply need just a simple question. How are you doing? Help us to see those people, God. Open our focus. Open our heart. That we're ready to open our heart, God, to people. Show them your love in practical ways. And open our story, God. Give us the reason, Lord. Not only give us a reason, but give us an avenue, God. Open up the doors where we can share our story. A transformation in our life. How you transformed our lives. How you change something within me. God, change us, God. Allow us to see differently. Help us to find our friends, God. Help us to find the lost. Help us find the people we pass every day and don't even notice. God, you're going to do something today. You're doing something this week. And Father, we're going to learn to pray that prayer every morning. Open our eyes, God. Open our focus. Use me, God, to share your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. But put your hands together. I received that today. Listen, I can't wait. I know. Listen, God's going to do something. I hope you're ready to take this journey with me as we begin to dive deeper into this. God bless you. We love you. Thank you so much for being here. You guys have a great rest of your day.